probably 22 years that we actually met Brother Saffels. We were kind of been in the youth ministry for 26-27 years and knew that we needed to come to the Northwest. And so Napa Vine, they were looking for a preacher at that time, and Brother Saffels was attending there. And so we met each other and found out connection with Brother Brown. And so it just didn't work out that actually we were going to come back and candidate, but it just didn't work out. The Lord already knew that he wanted us to start a church in Olympia. And since that time, it's like we started our church, but then we started this one about the same time, two, three years after, and then Aberdeen, and then Shelton, and then we had a big part in Tenino, helping there with Brother Peace. And so the Lord has been doing great things there at Olympia Bible Baptist Church, and we're very grateful grateful for that. Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. If my wife will come up here and join me, I'll sing with you, honey, okay? So come up here and join me real quick. You'll be okay. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown, and exchange it someday for a crown. Thank you. She's going to be, her birthday's going to be the 27th of this month, so I won't say how old, okay. A little bit about our story, most of you know, but I had I've been married for 8 years, and the Lord gave us 3 children, and then not really looking for anybody to come in my life, but the Lord brought Cynthia into my life. My first wife passed away of an unknown kind of a death there, but just kind of bummed out at that time. You know, what am I going to do, and how's this going to work out? But the Lord already had it all figured out. Come to find out, Cynthia, she could not birth any children. And so my first wife, Carol, she was able to birth them. And then the graciousness of God would allow then Cynthia to help raise. And so in the meantime then, we adopted 3. So we have 6, and I don't know where we would be right now. So we're going to be married this this November, 38 years now. It's kind of, wow, it's kind of amazing what God's done. Cynthia's been a big part of that, and just with all the kids, and she was, thank you. She was so grateful for Mother's Day, because here's a mom that probably wouldn't have any children, but God just worked it all out that she could have all the kids, six kids, four, actually 15 grandkids. And so it's a blessing. God is good. And Christy, of course, is one of those there. You know that. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm chapter 78 with me. This is a special place for us. We had several people come Tuesday night, Saturday morning, and then Sunday afternoon. I was just walking over there in the where we met over there. And at that time, I think it was the dentist guy, Kirkendall, that owned this building. He had a cousin or a nephew or something. He was living up here, and he was a druggy guy. So it was kind of spooky during that time. And actually, he ripped out all the copper in this building because he sold it for drugs and whatnot. But we were having church during all of that time. But remember people getting saved just in that little section over there. So I was just over there just a little bit, just sitting. And just some of the things that God did back then, not only at the Grange and the motel and the other chiropractor place there, but this place was something special because we prayed that someday we could actually have this place and just didn't work out at that time. But the Lord just brought it about for the right time. You know, Sunday we talked about mothers. And the first thing we saw was that the faith of a godly mother, it's got to be wrapped around Jesus Christ only. If we start getting other things in there and we leave Jesus Christ out, we're going to be in trouble. And then it's got to be genuine. In your life, you probably have some times in your life where maybe you were not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Well, he says, be genuine all the time. And then we must pass it on because there's a generation, just like this group down here, and a great job on the piano playing and singing. That was awesome. There's a generation that's going to need what we have, and so it's got to continue. So it starts from mother, grandmother, and then we take it on. That's what the Apostle Paul said. We're going to look at 1 Samuel, but before we do that, I'm going to lay down some groundwork because it also tells the story in Psalm. David talks about some of the same stuff too, how that Hannah, generation was not doing very good. And man, when you think about the church at Shiloh right now with the priest and the two sons that he had and all the wickedness that was going on, it was pretty wicked. And what Eli should have done, he should have taken care of the problem, but he didn't. He allowed it to continue to go on. And it got worse, it got worse, it got worse. So finally, man, it's like the Israelites, there's nobody that actually is a Christian or nobody even acting like a Christian. And so they've become Canaanized. And so that's the church. And there's a lot of churches out there just like that today. And I'm so grateful that this is not one of those churches. I had an opportunity to talk to Brother Grace over here. And we do have some things in common. I did not have a scriptural baptism. I was Methodist. And so I got me a scriptural baptism. Sounds like Brother Grace got him one. I drive school bus. He drove school bus. He ran a chicken farm. Well, I caught chickens, four in this hand, four in this hand. I put them at the door right there, just four. So there's a lot of things, and he likes old music, and I like old music. And what a blessing that you have people coming in. They're looking for a church that's preaching the Bible, singing still the old songs, but there's a lot of churches not doing that these days. They're going to this other stuff, and just not what it is. So praise God that this church, stand with me if you can, and let's look at Psalm chapter 78. All the way down to verse 55 is where we will. If you're there, say amen. Amen. If you're not, say there. I don't know what Pastor Tim would always say. I took that up from him, so I don't even know what else he said after that. In 55, he cast out the heathen also before them, and divided them the inheritance by line, and made the tribes of Israel to dwell in their tents. Yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God, and kept not his testimonies, but turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow, for they provoked him to anger with their high places, and moved him to jealousy with their graven images. When God heard this, he was wroth and greatly abhorred Israel, so that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh. Now remember, this was a house of God. This was a place where there was business being taken care of. But after Judges and during Judges, now we get to Ruth and 1 Samuel, it's going to turn around, but right now it's not that great. Shiloh, the tent which he placed among men, and delivered his strength into captivity, and his glory into the enemy's hands. He gave his people over also into the sword that was wroth with his inheritance. The fire consumed their young men, and their maidens were not given to marry. Their priests fell by the sword, and their widows made no lamentation. Then the Lord awaked as one out of sleep, and like a mighty man he shouted by reason of wine. And he smote his enemies in the hinder parts. He put them into a perpetual reproach. Moreover, he refused the tabernacle of Joseph and chose not the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, the Mount Zion, which he loved. And he built his sanctuary like high places, like the earth, which he hath established forever. He chose David also, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the ewes great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, tonight we do need to hear from you. We thank you for a people that chose to come to church on Monday night. I pray that you bless them. And Lord, help us to be that example. Help us to live for you with all of our heart, soul, mind, everything, Lord, that we might be able to pass this on to the next generation. And don't allow things to get in our way. Lord, there's a lot of distractions out there, Lord, that gets us in our way. So, Lord, I pray that you guide us and you direct us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, why did Israel need a revival during the days of Samuel? Well, here's why I believe Israel needed a revival during these days of Samuel. Because the sinful choices, it led to the hand of the enemy. Every sinful choice that we make, it always leads to the hand of the enemy. So I could say tonight, I need revival because still I am not perfect. I'm working at that. But every time sin comes in my life, all I'm doing, I'm giving hand to the enemy. I'm just placing my life back into the enemy. I believe our nation needs a revival. The church needs a revival. America needs a revival today. But because that we are placing ourselves back in this sinful mode, we're just saying, Lord, devil, here, take our life. And so the book of Judges, it left Israel in a very bleak situation. If this were the last book of the Old Testament, we would already think that, man, it's not going to work out very good. Amen. When you think about the book of Judges, it's just not going to work. Praise God, it's not the last book of the Bible. And I think about my life and your life. Aren't you glad that God gives us second chances and third chances and even fourth chances? And so by the time we reach the end of the book, the Israelites who we read about, you can't even even see who they are because they've been so canonized that they've just followed the way of the world. And I believe that's the same today, even in churches and good godly churches. We come in and we've got good people, but then all of a sudden things change and they follow this, they follow that. And it's like the church becomes so worldly. And that's why we need to continue to fight and keep that stuff out. And we've got to fight it even in our lives to keep that sin away from us. Listen to what Daniel Block says about this particular place in the Bible. He says, God is always far more interested in preserving his people than his people are in preserving themselves. Boy, that is the case. The book of Judges describes a nation in transition during crisis. In spite of the ethnic and religious unity, the nation seems to be determined to just to destroy its own self. It's interesting to me to Cynthia, my wife, does a lot of counseling. I'm not into that. They come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, PM, Wednesday, and go out soul winning with me. I think we can fix all the problems. But there is a need for counseling, no doubt. But my wife, she's really into that. And she just has a ability to say words and to bring them out, to make sense. The gentleman that I mentioned that was causing some trouble in our church, it's interesting because he put me on a text feed with my wife, me and him. And so he texts us, boom, 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 boom. And I could have butted in, but I didn't. I just let my wife. He got a little bit ticked about that a little bit, but and then all the things that he said, you've got a bitter spirit, man. Just I didn't really say anything, and got all the way down. Why are you even here at this church then? And then after that, things just kind of open up. Really, what was taking place? And so that's my wife. She can sense things. She can see things. And I am so grateful that she is that way. I'm not that way. And she likes to kind of work with people, and that's her gift. I really believe that's her gift. But as you continue to see that, we need to take heed, given to the spiritual climate, even of the United States today. We have to understand that it's not getting any better. There needs to be some counseling, but God needs to show up in people's lives. There needs to be some change going on, but mostly it's sin that they want to continue to go forward in and not say, I'm going to stop it. And I believe today we need to understand if there's areas in our life that we know that we should stop, then we should stop those things. Listen to a couple commentaries, Morgan and Wiersbe. I like this. He says, it is not our being in the world that ruins us, but our suffering the world to be in us, just as ships sink, not by being in the water, but by the water getting in them. Boy, how true that is. And then also, the church did the most for the world when the church was least like the world. Nations decay because of Christians who are no longer salt and light. And you see, the reign of man's opinion and judges. I forgot to tell you this so I can die. We're going to actually take this psalm here because it relates to Samuel. But I'm going to lay a groundwork tonight, and we're going to go through that tomorrow night, not tonight. We're just going to lay this groundwork. So what's happening here, the judges, the Israelites now, every man's doing that which is right in their own eyes. Can you imagine what that looks like? We can already see what that looks like. Even in churches, God has placed, of course, God we know is the main one up there. We're the pastor's the under shepherd. And then we're to follow. You get people who come in churches and more days than not today, they come from different churches, different backgrounds, because they're looking for churches to be open. And the independent Baptist churches, most of them are the only ones that have been open during the COVID time, and everybody else is shut down. So we have received actually a Presbyterian. We've seen a Methodist. We've seen a Lutheran, a Nazarene. We've just seen all kind of floods of people that come in. Praise God, most of them understood that some of the doctrine, their differences in their doctrine, so they submitted to baptism, and they make great, great members. But yet you understand that there's still a lot of people that will come in and they don't understand how the ruling works with the pastor and God, the order of the deacons and everything. And so they think that they need to be an authority. And so it's like they want to control things now. That's not how it works. There's an order to follow. And that's why there's a lot of churches today that are struggling so bad, because there's people that rise up with a bad spirit that don't like something that the pastor said, or don't like this or don't like that. Well, listen, you've got to take it up with God, and you don't go out doing the things that people do today. But it is very wicked, because when every man does that which is right in their own eyes, boy, it is going to be chaos. And so to properly understand now the book of Samuel, we must also grasp what led to the nation of this very a deep moral ruin. They were spiritually just wicked. All because of a choice of one man. One man. Anytime in a church body, how many of you are not members of Olympia, or Centurion Bible Baptist Church, are not members? Okay, just a few. All right. Members, whenever one of you are out of sync, it affects the whole body. Think about that. When you think that you want to do what you want to do, every man does that which is right in their own eyes, it affects the pastor, it affects the pastor's wife, it affects the children, it affects every member of the body. So why would we want to hurt the body of Christ? It's because of rebellion. It's because of sinful activity. And so when we come into the house of God, we come in with a covenant, we join the church, that we are going to be faithful, we're going to be loyal to the pastor, we're going to be able to financially support, we're going to be on board with that. And so if there comes a time that you think that's not going to work for you, you need to be very careful and don't try to start fighting that thing, because you're not fighting against men, you're fighting against God himself. But that's what's happening in churches today. Just because of one man wanted to do what was right in his own eyes, it affects everybody. So the first thing here I see, the choices of individuals, the individual Israelites, the choices of the Israelites, it set this whole nation on a path that started to do this, of all the choices. Think back some of the choices that you've made in your lifetime. Some of them were not very good. And some of them, there's consequences before with that. I am so grateful these last 2 years, during the, even COVID time, our church is way above target from even the, I think when we were 5 years old, we were running the most people, we had the most finances and missions. But these last 2 years, we've went way above that. Our missions has doubled, and it's just been miraculous, and it's exciting. And here's what it was. It was when you had a preacher come here, Brother Randolph, he preached a message here, and I sat right there. And what he said was, there's a lot of times we get distracted. You know what I was distracted from? I couldn't go in the hospital and visit anybody. They wouldn't let me go. You go soul winning, or you go door knocking, man, they just, you know, they booted you out. So as a pastor, what do? You can't do what you're supposed to do. And so I was in this, and then at that time, too, I was waiting for a preacher to come. I was going to retire. I was waiting for a preacher to come. I needed a preacher. I need somebody to take our position, our place. And so I was waiting for a preacher. I was not being able to visit. And so I got in this holding pattern. And you know, when you get in a holding pattern, you do diddly squat. You're just in a holding pattern. And so Brother Randolph, he preached, what is distracting you? He preached that message in 1 Peter. I wrote it down in my Bible. What is distracting you? You know, I hit the altar right here in this place. I said, God, forgive me. I want to get back to work, and I want to do what you called me to do. I've stopped worrying about who's going to take my place. I've stopped worrying about it. We just went to the hospital. We went door knocking. We went soul winning. And my goodness, these last 2 years have been one of the greatest joys of our life in the ministry of the church. I say that because there's some people that have been come. I think about Greg. Greg, he had served some prison time. Praise God, he got saved. Faithful, just coming to church faithfully. Danielle, she had not been coming to church faithfully. She had two kids. Greg had two kids out of wedlock. And so now Greg, he starts to get pumped up and coming to church faithful and just getting right on, got baptized and all of that. So Greg and Danielle, they meet each other. And you know what? I had the opportunity to marry both of them. And they've got four children together, not two and two, and they've got four children together. But here's the blessing. Greg was able to see his mom get saved. Greg was able to see his two children, two girls get saved. And now Greg and Danielle, they teach our first, second, and third graders. Amen. What joy can you say over that? That's just like a wow. What that happened during the time I decided that I'm not going to let any distractions take my place. You know what's going to happen in your life? There's distractions that come all the time, and you're not able to get the benefit that God wants to get out of your life. And we're missing on opportunity of people that's going to come and present the gospel to, and they're going to join the church, and they're going to just do some things right. Let me tell you about another couple, Justin and Desiree. Both of them were in, they met each other in jail in Colorado. Both of them were just druggies on Colorado. Well, they show up at church and things, you know, have transpired there. And so they started to come Sunday night. And finally, they just got to the point that, man, they just wanted to come regular. So they were coming regular for about a year or so. And man, they just got plugged in. Both of them got baptized and man, just fired up. Now she's praying for her dad to get saved, Jim. And so for about 6 months, I just kept praying, Jim, get saved. Jim, get saved. You know, it was about 3 months ago, I was able to lead Jim to the Lord. And to watch that family come, not only that, but Desiree has two kids. They've never seen mom and dad live right before. They've just seen mom and dad do all the bad stuff. And now they've seen mom and dad do right. And we have those in our church right now that wants to serve God with all their heart. And so when you think about the wickedness that's out there, there's wickedness out there. But let's don't allow that to get us distracted, because one choice will make a big difference in your life. It'll make a big difference whether you're going to go that way or you're going to go that way, and whether people are going to come in this house or go to the bar somewhere out there. One choice will make that big difference. Now, they had a strong start because they were under the leadership of Joshua. So they had a very good, strong start. Go back to Joshua with me. Look at Joshua chapter 1. And verse number 19. You see, they were at a very good start until you get to Joshua chapter 1, verse 19. There's not no 19. I'll bet you that's 1 Samuel. Go to 1 Samuel. Man, that's a bummer. That ain't it either. Man, somebody find that for me. You don't even know what I'm looking for. Oh, what did I say? Oh, Judges. What am I? What, how come we're in Joshua? Thank you. Thank you. That's it. Amen. Amen. So here, they were in a good start until you get to this right here. Now, this is important because we get going. We have a good leader that's taking us. Then all of a sudden, there's some distractions that's going to come. And it's how we deal with those things. And the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley because they had, and here's what I wanted, chariots of iron. You see, what happened was they just started to give up. It's not that they were doing anything wicked or wrong, or they just got so tired of every time they were going this way and hit this rock wall, and they just got so tired because the chariots of iron came. It wasn't that they gave into temptation. What happened was they stopped fighting battles. You ever get to the case in your life where maybe husband and wife, I'm just tired of fighting these battles over and over, over again. Well, we get that way. In church, sometimes a pastor, we get up, it's obvious that people want to continue to do what they want to do, and we get tired of saying the same thing over and over and over and over again. And sometimes it gets discouraging, but they had a hard time here because they stopped. they stopped just allowing God to work in their lives, and they were just very, very tired. They began to permit all these different groups to come and attack them. Here's what Daniel Block says: what was to be the triumph campaign of the conquest turned into an expedition of compromise. We get going, and then all of a sudden, boom, we start to compromise. As we started our church, it was probably our second year in, we had a church next door to us, a Baptist church, that closed up. Not closed up, but they had a Sunday school class, and there was about 40 of them that wanted to come and join us. And so we were running about 30 at the time. And so I could have compromised, and I could have said, okay, just bring everybody in. But no, we stood up, because here's the problem. Most all of those 30 people that was in that Baptist church, many of them never even were saved, but they were members. And definitely almost all of them never had a scriptural baptism. And so they were wanting to come in and just join together. What would have happened if I would have allowed all 40 of them to come into our 30? I believe that they probably would have taken over, and we would have not have been able to stand up, and it would have probably been over. Sometimes that gets tiring because you get people that come into your church. Man, God's going to use them, especially when there's finances. God, man, I could use that person. I could use that person. Don't you know what we need to have? We had this one elderly lady, sweet as a bell. My goodness, she was just, she's a fit. She's going to come. And she's going to join us. She said this to Cynthia and I: here's the amount of money that we're going to be able to give the church. Man, she laid it out there. It was a big chunk of change. But here's what she said: I will only give that and come if you will have the Lord's Supper every week. Here's the choice: money? It's just juice. I'll just do it once a week. That's not going to be a big deal, right? No, it's a big deal, because once you start compromising, and once you start giving in, it's not a big deal. Then the Lord's Supper is not a big deal. No, it is a big deal, because Jesus Christ, he paid his life for us, and it's a memorial that we come and we pay respect. It's not something that we just eat food and we get drunk over and all that stuff that they talked about doing that. But can you see, there's many times in our lives that we could have compromised but we chose not to. There's a lot of people that are compromising today, not only in church, but also in their personal life. So they grew more and more permissive as this time went on. What they permitted eventually, it defined who they were. And so if the problems in Judges were generated because every man did that which was right in their own eyes, why would it be any different for the things that's going to happen in us today? If we want to do what's right in our own eyes, don't you know that there's going to be problems? We have to stay to the book. And I'm glad that I have a pastor, Brother Fix and his wife, had a great time going out to eat with the kids. They're great. I know you, but I don't know you that well. Like other people know you, and so they've got some great kids. And see how God's using them, but willing to stand up and not compromise in those areas. You know, the second, one man can change everything, but also decision after decision after decision, it leads right into the enemy's hands. Every decision that we make that's wrong, it's going to lead right into the enemy's hand. Let me give you four things on that thought. First, the lack of involvement in God's will lead you to lack of involvement outside of God's will. Now, I know we're always, man, we need bus workers. We come out soul winning. Let's come Wednesday night. Let's just do this. We need Sunday school teachers. We need nursery workers. But here's the problem. If you're not willing to get involved in God's will, you're going to find outside of God's will, you're going to get involved in other things. It will happen. And that's what took place right there. One person chose to make decision, but because they were not willing to get involved in what God's will was, it opened it all up for them to get involved in other wills that's not that great. The second thing is they were less and less loyal to their identity of Israel. When you're not willing to get involved with the ministry of the church, that there's all kind of ministries here. My goodness, there's tons of things that could happen. Look, Pat, he's doing the water. Praise God for that. It's great to have grass to grow. We've got Brother Jonathan Copeland. Pastor, if we stop watering the grass, we don't have to mow anymore. That's not the reason, okay? But yet, praise the Lord for that. It's blessing to have the trees grow, the grass grow, but that's a ministry. Playing the piano, playing the organ, doing the ushering, the security. Man, there's all kind of ministries that can be involved right here, but when we stop getting involved in God's will and we put ourselves in other things, then what happens? We become less and less loyal to the identity of Israel. In this case, the identity of the church. In this case, the identity of supporting the pastor. They wanted to fit in with the people around them. And we've got many Baptist churches today that have lost their distinctiveness. They're not no longer, they might as well just take Baptist off of their church name because they're not following what the Baptists and the Word of God. And many believers have blended in with society around them and they've just allowed them to be worldly just like they are. The third thing, when conflicts come, the tribe of Israel, what it did, it left them open for the enemy to attack. So whenever a conflict comes and every man does that which is right in their own eyes and they make a choice and then you're less and less loyal to the identity of who you really are, you know what happens? Fight takes place. I mean, you open yourself up wide for fights, and fighting between the tribes allow the enemy to make more frequent invasions. They're fighting against each other, and boy, that's a bad thing when we start fighting against each other. And what that happens, it allows the enemy to come right in and just take over. What a blessing it was for me. My wife helped too by helping with counsel and things such as that with Lakewood Baptist Temple. It's Pastor Josh Knuff. He's been beat up. And then there's a stress level there and then all of a sudden the heart don't work very good. And so he needed to get away. But there's just people that just would not stop that. But praise God. Just last Sunday, they were able to vote in an interim pastor, help the process get going, but there's people in there that are mean-spirited. With every deacon's meeting, trustees meeting for the past 2.5 months, just just working through them. Follow the plan, follow the plan, follow the plan. And how there's mean people, mean-spirited people that just want to come and keep attacking. But when you start attacking each other, it's like it just opens yourself up. My heart was just broken because when you're in a meeting like that and they're voting and some voted not, and this is where it worked really good. So if you want to vote for me and you don't want to vote for me, like in the Bible, that who's on the Lord's side? And so they did it this way. All four, Pastor McQueen, stand up so everybody could see. Boy, that really made them strong because they saw how powerful they can when everybody sees that. And then there's probably about 11 or so that could not stand up or did not vote no. But it's got this mean spirit that keeps coming in. And when you're fighting one with another, it just opens you up. And a guy that I was able to see baptized, he just got saved. And we visited a friend of his, and they have a Spanish work up there. Well, he's been taking her to church to the Spanish work, and this was sad for a new Christian and a lady that's not a member to sit in a meeting like that and hear all the talk coming back when you're in a house of God. You're in God's house. Why in the world would all this stuff take place? Because now people are fighting against this person, against this person, against this person, and now you just open yourself up. And man, it's a shame when that gets to that point that we're fighting against husband, we're fighting against wife, we're fighting against church, we're fighting against children, and all these things happen, and now it just opens ourselves up for the enemy to come in, and somebody's going to get destroyed. Well, we need to understand, we're not fighting against us, we're fighting against the principalities of the air, which is Satan, and we've got to stop it. But they did not stop it. And then the fourth thing is there's lack of spiritual leadership. And that lack of spiritual leadership resulted in the drift in the long way. And I can honestly say we are lacking in spiritual men leadership today, just commitment. Praise God for the women that will step up, and we need all the women that we can. But boy, we are lacking in leadership. The leaders that did not step up to lead in the days of Judges used their position actually to serve themselves. And you know all the judges that stepped up. They were good men, but all they used that platform was to serve themselves. All the way, each one of them, that's what it was for. And so we're facing a shortage of leaders today. Leaders that have come to the modern church scene have made things worse rather than better, and their lack of godly character and separation has played right into the enemy's hand. Boy, that is what's taking place. We play right into the enemy's hand. And then number three, and then I'll give you some more scripture here, then I'm going to take Psalms tomorrow. The underlying issue, it's all this. It was a collapse simply because they rejected the authority of God. Whenever you start rejecting the authority of God, you start blaming other people. But all you're doing is you're just rejecting God's authority. If the Bible says this, and you go and talk to a counselor, and I agree that it don't say that, but you want to continue to do what you're doing, and you blast me? No, you're not blasting me. All I'm doing is repeating and showing you what you need to be doing. All you're doing is rejecting the authority of God. And be careful about that, because whenever you reject the authority of God, there's going to be a big collapse. Look at Judges 17. Judges 17 and verse number 6. Every one of these men now that was doing that which was right in their own eyes, they were just rejecting the authority. In those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Look at verse number 20, chapter 17, verse 21. There's not no 21. Chapter 21, verse 25. At the end of Judges, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in their own eyes. Now, let me tell you, God warned ahead about all of this. He told them. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse number 8. Deuteronomy 12 12 of verse number 8. Ye shall not do after all the things that we do here this day, every man whosoever is right in his own eyes. And so they were already warned, don't go there. Don't do that. And that's the same with us. We are told, don't do that. The Bible tells us. We're already ahead of time told not to do that. But boy, the evilness inside wants us to try to check it out and do all of that. No, don't do it. You know, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And then Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15, it says, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto the counsel is wise. Proverbs 16, 2, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirit. Proverbs 16, 25, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Whenever you start to reject God's authority, all you're doing is say, I know better than God. I know better than God. And you know what's so amazing to me? And I will, actually, I just turned 67, Brother Saffles. The longer that I'm in the ministry and the longer I hear people with their ideas. Now, I don't profess to be a smart person, but I do preach the Word of God and I want to live it. Man, live it all out and do the best I can. And so I have been in the ministry to see what people say that they turn and they're foolish. I mean, they're very foolish. Their spirit is bad. You can sense it. But all of a sudden, they get so spiritual. And then all of a sudden, they want to come to me and they want to come and teach me what the Bible says. I cannot. And when I don't listen to them, they call me out or they say, you know, no, I'm not going to listen to that stuff because you've got a bad spirit, number one, and whatever you want to talk about, you're not wanting me to teach you. You're wanting to teach me. That is going on everywhere. Take your teenager. They think they know more than parents. Sometimes they do on computers. I agree with that. But they do, and the authority there is not under parents no more. Wouldn't it be great if every teenager, every child, mom, teach me. No, they want to teach them. They want to teach me. And so the whole problem now is this missed authority, and every man now wants to do that which is right in their own eyes. Today that we're living in and how they want to take, and I even heard just last week that if you want to get involved in a kid's life and you don't allow the school to change their sex, that they're going to take the child away from you. Whoever would have thought that we're living in a day and age that that would have happened? Every man's doing that which is right in their own eyes. Every man is doing that which is right in their own eyes. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of judgment, of death. So the rejection of God's authority in favor of your own, what it's going to do, it's going to cause you to collapse. And you're going to, just like Judges, Went downward. Pretty soon, you've lost financial stuff. You've lost family. You've lost this. All of this stuff just goes away because you're doing what was right in your eye and you don't want to listen to authority. Psalms 85, 6 says, wilt thou not revive us again that the people may rejoice in thee? And the whole book of Samuel right now, there's a desperation of need of help. Hannah sees that. And she says, man, I want to see a generation. Because she already sees what's happening here at Shiloh. She sees all of that. But now before Judges, it ends. And you would think, man, nothing's good. Now it's going to happen. But you know what's placed right in the middle of Judges and 1 Samuel? A little book called Ruth. And when you read that, you find out that there's a lineage there that's taken all the way from Joshua, and now David's going to be taken over. That is like, hallelujah, that you can see how God put Ruth and Boaz together. And how God just said, this is what needs to happen. God wants to do that with you and I. Who would have thought that this church would have a beautiful organ and a gentleman to play that organ? God knew all of that. And man, what a presence of God. I mean, it's just like, it just feels like, man, we're in God's house. I mean, the music that's played. But I'm telling you, it's not like that when you've got all these lights going and all this beat bopping and all this kind of stuff. It's not like that. But you get to a point in history and in life and you see that, man, it's a blessing to see that people will take what God has said and say, I know that my direction was not in the church that way, but say, hey, I want to follow the Lord's baptism and go this way. Man, that's just God working. But a lot of people don't go that. They want to fight it, and they want to fight it. I remember when we were here, we didn't have a piano player, and we didn't leave until we received one. And thank the Lord for that. And man, what a blessing, the piano playing. It's just tremendous. And I just sad that you're going to leave and go to Idaho. But God's going to have to replace that. Who's going to do that? Well, it might be some of us right here. Might be some of us who take piano lessons. Some of you are old. Start taking piano lessons right now, okay? But yet God will bring that person in. But it's like, here is Ruth, Boaz, and God. No, it's not done yet. God's still got a plan. God still has a purpose, and God will bring the right person at the right time for us. You know, although times were bad in the days of Judges, the people of God had a future because God was sovereignty. I mean, I look at my life, and I thought, three kids, and trying to fulfill ministry, and no wife, am my life over? No, because the sovereign of God, God saw fit to say, hey, I'm not done yet. God's going to bring a special mate for me, and we're going to continue now in ministry to fulfill what God wants. He's sovereignty at work, even though might be spiritual darkness around. And what a blessing tonight. When we look at Psalm 78, and you might go home and read that, you're going to find the whole story right there in Samuel, what took place all the way down to how David now was able to take place. When you go to the end of 2 Samuel and see how God is going to bring. And it all started with a woman that said, Lord, if you give me a man-child. And think about this. She was giving the man-child, Samuel, over to Eli to train. She left him there. How many of you women would do that? She knew that God gave him to her, and so she was willing to give him back to be trained by Eli. But God protected him, and now what a blessing it is to see how God's going to take him. House of Shiloh, man, it's going to be pumping, and spiritual things are going to happen again, and that's exactly what happens at Centurion Bible Baptist Church. When people get on board, God brings people in, they get plugged in, and the sovereignty of God, then one more soul is saved. Tonight, are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Tonight, are you serving? Are you where you need to be serving, doing what's right that would help the church? Maybe tonight, are you reading the Bible like you know you ought to be reading it? Do you wake up every morning and say, man, I've got to get into that thing? Are you memorizing Scripture? Are you working at leading people to Jesus Christ? You know, all of these things fit into the whole picture where God wants us all to get involved. But sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes we get maybe backslidden away, and we don't see the need. Let me just close with, when I was in Bible college, I got to sing on a singing group, and we went to Hawaii. And as we went to Hawaii, one of the men there in Hawaii, his name was Matt. He was on the singing group. And so he would give his testimony. And we went to Waikiki is where this happened. And so we got to go to Hawaii with the Humberts invited us to go. And we got to stay with them for a whole week there. So that was a blessing. And so at this island, this is what Matt would say. Matt had this desire in his heart to go talk to this soldier guy. But he got scared, so he didn't do that. But you know how we do? Okay, I'm going to go talk. And then this is how he did. A couple minutes or so went on. But yet, he said, can't do it. So he left. But this is what happened. He heard a big old bang, a screech. And so he walked down, and he saw half of a body. He walked farther, and he saw the rest. And guess who it was? It was that guy. You know, as he gives that testimony, his heart just wrenched. And I determined that day forward, even in my young life, that I was going to do whatever I could to tell folks about Jesus Christ before it's too late. He don't know if he's saved or not. And what would happen if he gets to heaven and the guy's not saved? He's not in heaven. And it was all because he decided not to hand a tract out or not to talk to them. That's how close we are to reality right now, because there are people regular that we come in contact with, but because that maybe we're away from God or we're backslidden, we get to the point that, somebody else will tell them. Somebody else will help them. Somebody will do this. Listen, we are living in some great days right now where the Holy Spirit of God can work in our hearts, just like he did right here with Hannah and with Samuel and all the folks that God's using, Ruth, Boaz, everybody that God's using. God is working already right here. He always has, but let's continue to do so. So tonight, man, what a blessing would be to have a fresh start and say, Lord, as we anniversary revival, that God would allow us to do something even greater than we did even last year. Don't allow it to stop. And if you're not a member of the church, why not be a member? This is a great church to be a part of and to join, and what the blessings will be in heaven because we just do a little work here upon this earth. Can you stand to your feet with your heads bowed tonight?